verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry."
But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself."
This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. And thank you very much for all of you participating in reading the scripture this morning. So unfortunately, no one here this morning, and unlikely anyone viewing our live stream or on YouTube later in the week, none of you won Powerball on Wednesday night. None of you has $642 million that you were not expecting to have Wednesday afternoon. But let me ask you anyway, even if it is hypothetically, what would you have done with that kind of money? Buy some real estate? Buy a sports car or a boat? Start your own company? Give it away? I'm asking because the parable that Jesus teaches in the scripture this morning is a lot like the parable of a Powerball winner. It asks the listener, what will you do when you have more than you thought? But before we get to the parable, we need a little bit of context. Last week, we read where Jesus was warning his disciples in front of the crowd, and therefore in this place of the crowd, in before the ears of the crowd, he was warning against hypocrisy, against pretending to be one thing while being another, pretending to be a follower of Christ, pretending to be a fearer of God, pretending to be a religious or spiritual leader. Now, this leads to today's passage, where an individual in the crowd makes a demand upon Jesus. The first thing we want to see is Jesus is met by a materialistic man. Verse 13 of Luke 12. I want to read verses 11, 12, and 13 together for us to get the full context. Jesus is speaking, "When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should do. Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" This man interrupts Jesus' teaching about spiritual matters and about the role that the Holy Spirit has on the lives of individuals and of the church with a personal earthly need. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. The man does not say, Jesus, you seem like a smart fellow. Could you investigate the matter and see if my brother is in accordance with the scripture and the teachings of the Torah and the Talmud and the rabbinic teachings of our faith? He simply demands that Jesus use his authority to arbitrate the matter, to divide up, to decide. But Jesus is not going to give in to temptation of overstepping his role. And so Jesus asks, who appointed me judge or arbiter? Now we have to understand that this is a paradoxical question. It is a question that makes no sense in the initial hearing, but the more that you think about it, it makes perfect sense that Jesus is asking this question. The obvious answer that Jesus is expecting is nobody did. You haven't been appointed a judge or an arbiter according to our custom or our culture. You are not, in a cultural sense, in a legal sense, in a governmental sense, a judge. And yet, the answer also could have been, well, God did. Because throughout the New Testament, Jesus is called the judge of the living and the dead. He is the one who will come to judge the living and the dead. He is the one who right now judges the living and the dead. He is the one who has come to mete out the spiritual ramifications of our lives. And maybe that's what Jesus was hoping he would say. Well, God has appointed you over all. He has given you authority. Jesus will say that all authority has been given to me, he says before he ascends into heaven. So to ask the question, who made me judge? Who appointed me judge? God did. But that's not what this crowd or this man wanted to hear. But Jesus reframes the request to question his motive. What really is your intention in seeking this inheritance? Are you saying that you want me to minimize the provision to your brother so that you can have more? Are you saying that this is an unfair statement? But why are you coming to me? And then Jesus says, be careful. Watch out. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. He says, watch, be on guard against all kinds of greed. But what is greediness? Or if you're looking at the ESV, what is covetousness? Covetousness. And that's why Jesus shares the parable. He doesn't want us to be greedy. He wants us to be aware of greed. So this story about the present-day Powerball winner or the Jesus' day rich landowner is appropriate in bringing light to this subject. So secondly, Jesus guides them to be on guard against greediness. He teaches them through a parable. And if we look at this parable, beginning with verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Now, it does not say this man planted a lot. It does not say that this man harvested a lot. It says that the earth that he owned, the land, gave him a rich harvest. And I think, and I'll tell you why in just a second, I think this is completely unexpected. And the reason why I think that is because of what the man says. What should I do? If you are a farmer and your crop comes in normally, you know what you're supposed to do with it. You're to sell some, you're to seed some, you're to eat some. But this crop is so abundant that he's like, I don't know what to do. What should I do with all this wealth? And his response to this blessing reveals his heart. 8 times in the original language, the word I appears in these 4 verses. 16 through 19, 8 times he says, I. What should I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger ones, and I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things stored up. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. 8 times he says, I. Now, 1 time does he say, God? 4 times he says, my. I will tear down my barns. I will gather up my grain. It is my soul. He does not consider God at all. Now, perhaps he would if the crop did not come in at all. If he didn't have this windfall, maybe he would curse God. But now that he has it, he does not recognize God at all. The man retains the resources for himself, because he never contemplates what God would have him to do, he never thinks of anyone other than himself. The accumulation is not the problem. It is the land that gave him this wealth. His sin is using it only for himself. I will store it up, and I will have sufficient for years. And that is the true mark of greediness. The parable ends by God revealing what will happen. Time lapse. I've gathered all these things, I've built the bigger barns, I've gotten all my stuff. Now is the time to take it easy, to step back, to eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, this very night, your life is demanded of you. God labels him a fool. Ironically, 66 years ago today, or yesterday, four men were in Ecuador. Four missionaries were in Ecuador and killed. One of them said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." If only this rich landowner had understood. But he was foolish, holding on. He gave no consideration of God's purposes. Psalm 53, verse 1 says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." "You kept all this for yourself," God says, "but it will be given to others anyway." The issue in Jesus' parable is not wealth, but the obtaining and utilizing of wealth for our own purposes. Having wealth is a blessing from God. Using wealth is a service to God. And greediness is holding on to it for ourselves. The third thing that Jesus does here is he reminds us to be rich toward God. Verse 21. "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." As I said last week, I will say again, in chapter 12, Jesus is starting to delineate a disciple from a not disciple. Last week it was, guard yourself against hypocrisy. This week it's, guard yourself against greed. Jesus is delineating a disciple from the crowd. A disciple does not store up things for themselves. That wealth is not an excuse to disengage, to relax, to take it easy, to eat, drink, and be merry. Wealth is an opportunity to engage with others. A disciple is developing a richness toward God. One of the commentaries I read on Luke this week says, "Richness toward God means responding to life and blessing in the way he desires, in the way that honors him through service and compassion." And seeing God's provision as a blessing for all. And we would be wise to read these verses and take a moment of self-reflection. What do I do with unexpected discretionary blessings? What do I do if I win Powerball, which I wasn't expecting? What do I do if there's a huge crop, much more than I ever anticipated? What do I do if I gain an inheritance that I was not counting on, anticipating? What do I do? Am I sharing what I am capable of sharing? Or am I sharing what I am comfortable with sharing? Am I looking at the things that I have as an opportunity for me to relax, to eat, drink, and be merry? Or am I saying, you know what? I don't need to relax as much as I do. I don't need to eat as much as I do. I don't need to drink as much as I do. I do not need to be as merry and party as much as I do. Now, I understand maybe you're not the partying type, but maybe you are. What am I capable of sharing instead of what am I just comfortable sharing? Do I hold on to God's bounty, or do I freely hand out God's blessings to family and friends? A preacher once delivered a rousing sermon on what he titled God's ownership. And the sermon put a rich parishioner's nose out of joint. The wealthy man took the preacher out to lunch, and then after lunch, they walked through the parishioner's elaborate gardens, woodlands, and farms. Now, are you going to tell me, he demanded when the tour was completed, that all this land does not belong to me? The preacher smiled and suggested, ask me the same question 100 years from now. That's greediness or godliness in a nutshell. Am I holding on to things that I cannot hold on to when I could be using them to alleviate people's suffering, to increase other people's joy, to provide for those who are lacking? Not so that I might suffer, but so that I might have sufficient and that they might have sufficient as well. Jesus shared this parable of the rich fool so that his disciples would be on guard against greediness. If we are disciples or followers of Jesus, we need to see God's provision as coming from God and use it for the purposes that God gave it to us. Our sermon in a sentence is this: the wise see wealth as a gift from God for us and others. The wise see wealth as a gift from God for us and others. That is all provision, but especially unexpected windfalls, inheritances, abundant harvests, Powerball jackpots, company bonuses. We who are wise understand the source of our provision and the purpose for our provision. And it is to glorify God by acknowledging Him as the source and the supply of our goods, the director and the drive for our gifts. The wise see wealth as a gift from God for us and others. Don't be like the rich landowner. What am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. And I will build bigger barns, and I will gather, and I will say to my soul, look at all that I have done. And God says, you fool, you will not enjoy. You had the opportunity, but now your life is done, and someone else will receive it all. Why not share it now, so that God's will and glory can be made manifest? Shall we pray?